So we left off yesterday with the Machlekes Harishonim, whether we have to prove that a get doesn't require Mukor Gvil. Everybody we saw seemed to assume that a Taka doesn't, but Tosfos got all nervous trying to prove it, and the Ri at the end said, it's just a Pshita Noid. It doesn't need, because the whole source of the Din of Mukor Gvil was derived from the Din of Ksiva Tama. And everybody knows Ksiva Tama is only Din by Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah. It has nothing to do with Hilchos Gittin. The problem with the Tosfos was that there are other dinim of Ksiva Tama that do very much have to do with Hilchos Gittin, such as the din Shel Tidba Eis L'Chavrata, which Tosfos themselves, the Menachos Chavtes, invoked that halacha when it comes to Gittin, because the Gemara uses the method of testing with the child reading as a way of ascertaining whether it's Dama Eis L'Chavrata. And Tosfos writes the Ferish of Menachos Chavtes that that din applies to a get. Not going to be that. On one hand, Tosfos laughs off the din of Ksiva Tama when it comes to Gittin, vis-a-vis Mukor Gvil. When it comes to Shel Tidba Eis L'Chavrata, some of the din remains. So we try to create this model and look at other areas of halacha to where there are din of Tama. We ran out of time yesterday, so we'll try to bring us up to speed in terms of that. And perhaps a little bit of a better understanding of the din of Tama in other areas may shed some light on this dilemma of Tosfos as well. The Gemara has a din of Tama when it comes to Dalad Midim. The Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah, that's the Mochor, you have to shake all four minim. You have to take all four minim. Otherwise, it's not considered to be a Ksiva Tama. Does that mean that all four have to be simultaneous in your hand? Or can you pick up the lulav, put it down, pick up the asuk, put it down? That's a big machlekes rishonim. But everyone agrees that at the end of the day, you have to have all four, not necessarily together, but all four have to be there. Otherwise, the chisar in Ksiva Tama. Tosfos went one step further. Tosfos in Chavtes of Beis and Masechet Sukkah says that they think that the mochor, the din, that esrog that's missing a little bit is possible, esrog achoser, is also learned out from lekicha tama. That doesn't appear in the Gemara. The Gemara's only application of lekicha tama is vis-a-vis all four medium, but Tosfos went the extra mile and said, no, even within the item itself, it also has to be tama. So then Tosfos takes both of these halachas, both of these din and both are from the same pasuk, Tosfos claims. The requirement of all four minim and the requirement of the min, of the effort being intact, fully intact, tama. And Tosfos says, these two halachas are derived from the same pasuk, part ways. They part ways in the following way. We know that the mitzvah deraisa of Netilas Lulav is really only in the first day. But mikdosh is the rest of it. We're talking mikdosh. We're talking for us in Washington Heights. So the mitzvah deraisa is only the first day. So why do we shake Lulav the entire week? So that's a mishnah in the end of Masechta Sukkah that says that Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, Hiskin Rabbi Yechman Zakeh, Shalei Lulav Nidl Chol Shiva Zech HaMikdash. Midarais, you only shake Lulav the first day. Midarais, you shake it the whole week in the Beis HaMikdash, Shesmach Nafnash HaMikdash Shiva Ziyomim. So the Teshma Peh explains that Simcha has to be Dafla Yitayna Tilas Lulav. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so Rabbi Yechman Zakeh wanted to keep the dream of the Beis HaMikdash alive. So he was Misakeh, the Zech HaMikdash, that we should shake it throughout Gvulun as well. But thus we have for us two different mitzvahs in effect. I mean, two sides of the same mitzvah, if you want to call it. That's the Mishnayos at the end of Masechet Sukkah, that the way Mitzvah Dalad Mina plays out for us today is the first day is Deraisa, all the subsequent ways, Rona Midrabanan. The Shalom Mishonim where the second day Yonta fits in Chutz Laretz. So the Pashup Shad is that the second day is Mamsha Sveik Diyoma, the first day, like any other Sveik Diyoma. So there's one day Mishonim, it seems to say, not that way, it seems to say, that the second day of Yonta and Chutz Laretz somehow is the same as the third day Chalmai. Somehow it's only Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh Takana. Somehow there's no din aspect of the Yom until it's very hard to understand. The Ryan quotes such a possibility, very hard to understand. But again, we're not learning Sukkah right now. So the Pashup Shad is that, let's leave out the Chutz Laretz for a minute, and there it's Yisrael, the Reis in the first day, everything else, Lomid Rabban. So Tosfos starts to collect the pieces of this puzzle in the third Pech of Masechet Sukkah, and Tosfos says, what's the standard of Dalad Minim for this mitzvah de Rabbanan of Lulav Nitol Kol Shiva? The Takonos of Yechman Zachai, just how kosher does it have to be? Does it have to replicate the first day? It's exactly the same as the first day. All the Mishnayos, all the Sukkahs, all the Gemaras are mamish identical. The third day Chalamoid is the first day. Or are there some differences between the two? So Tosfos starts to collect this Gemara, that Gemara, this Diograti, and comes to the realization that they seem to be steerers in Chazal. It's not clear what the answer to that question is. Some didn't seem to carry over, and some didn't don't carry over. So the Balei Tosfos are baffled to try to figure out which didn't carry over, which didn't don't carry over. So Tosfos tries very, very hard. And this Tosfos, not everyone agrees to this Tosfos, but Tosfos develops this whole theory in the beginning of the third paragraph of the Masechet Sukkah that when you're dealing with Lulav and Esrog Deraisa, so they're absolute chayk lo yavor. It's got to be Esrog, it's got to be this, Lulav, it's got to be this. Everything has to meet the criteria of whatever those didn't Deraisa are. when it comes to the mitzvah derabbanan after the first day, so that Chazal were free to pick and choose, that some of the dinim of the first day spill over to the subsequent days, and others don't. So how do you know which do, which don't? So Taisa says, those dinim that are very essence, the absolute integral part of the mitzvah, those carry over. That's El Marshall. Would anybody say that, I don't really have to shake a lulav and esrog after the first day, I can take a stuffed lulav, a stuffed esrog, you know, the ones the little kids walk around with. It's okay. It's good enough. I'll shake my stuffed lulav and esrog. Maybe it even makes a sound to it. And I'll remember to make some mikdash by doing that. Mm-hmm. Would anybody say that? That's silly. That's ridiculous, right? There's got to be a lulav and esrog. I mean, at one point, there has to be a lulav and esrog. So Taisa says that anything that's part of the absolute definition, or the very basic definition, primary definition of what lulav and esrog is, that carries over for the entire week. And the Upfor Taisa says that it's inconceivable that you could shake a lulav and esrog, a lulav, esrog, hadasim, and no aravos. The guy's going to walk in the shul on third day chalom without any aravos. Can't get any aravos. His aravos shriveled up already. He threw him into the garbage. The monthly aravos didn't make it to the next day. He doesn't have aravos. Shrine is all zayin. So the guy can't tie it. What's the big deal? It's after the first day anyway. Who cares? It's for derabbanan. What's the problem? So he says, that's like taking a stuffed esrog. It's not the talabinim. It's nishkin talabinim. But Taisa says, what if a guy has an esrog, he has a lulav, he has a das, he has a ravis, what happens a little bit of his esrog is missing? Someone took a bite out of his esrog. So Taisa quotes the Gemara in the third pack of Sukkah. What?
Pittim is broken.
Pittim? I didn't give that example. I don't want to give that example. Because the pittim breaking off going to Seven Sham is a sort of hadar, and that may be a whole different ballgame. I don't want to go down that route. But, I mean, you could if you want to. What? So Taisa dug up a Gemara in the third pack of Sukkah, where the Gemara actually talks about this very topic, about biting an esrog on the third day chalom. Can you be yaitzim with an esrog that's chaser on the third day chalom? Which is a very strange story. If you, I would ever do this in my shul, I think I was absolutely crazy. Rabbi Chanina. What is this? Rabbi Halig, Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina on Chol HaMoed morning took a bite out of his esrog, a little bit for breakfast, bite out of his esrog, and then he used whatever was left for the bits of the aluminum. Well, it's okay, no problem. Was it perfectly okay? Was it Rabbi Chanina meant Matl Bey Benofik Bey? He would first tell me he would eat a little bit, dip it into some. Esrog doesn't taste so sweet. Dip it into some jam or something, dip it into some yogurt or something. He'd take a little bite of the esrog, and then whatever was left over, he would come to shul. And the Gemara had only one problem. Anyone know what the problem was? I don't remember the Gemara. The Gemara tells the story just like casually. So Rabbi Chanina bit his esrog and went to shul and then used it. And the only question the Gemara has in the story, no one remembers? How are you allowed to eat before you shake lulav and esrog? You're not supposed to eat before you do a mitzvah. That was the kasher. No other kasher. In fact, if someone took a bite out of the shofar and they blew shofar, you say, no, that's the only kasher the Gemara had. So Taisa says, you see for the Gemara that you're allowed to use an esrog chaser, why not? So Frek Taisa says, kasher, what do you mean? How can you use an esrog chaser? It's possible on the first day, that's for sure, but the Mishnah is possible. Taisa says, nah, it's already, you know, after the first day, already. It's better the third day chamay, it's better Shana Rabba, what's the big deal? Not so terrible. And therefore, that's like a chosid. That's not an integral part of the mitzvah. You're missing a little bit here and there. Nishka felach. So Taisa said that missing an entire min, that's a pagam in the etzim of mitzvah. Just having an esrog chosir is just something kind of tangential. It's a nesrog, but it's just a puzzle to get. It's not like we saw the etzim adover. The reason why, Mr. Alter, we have to address your issue is because Taisa says, based on this theory, what if you had, let's say, a lulav that was dried up? What do you think about that? Lulav is upside dry. It's a lulav yavish. Would you think that's like not having a lulav, or would you think that's like just a hole in the esrog? I would say it's what? I would say it's there. I mean, the lulav is there. It's not a stuffed lulav. It's a lulav. Except it's a shibboleth dried out. So I would have thought that all the psulei hadar should be the halak equivalent of psulei chaser. Basically, the heft is this. On the first day, I understand. It's not harder. But after the first day, I would think it should be okay. That's what I would have said. So Taisa says, Dagabu Gemara in Sukkah, that they claim to say otherwise. The Ramban says, no such Gemara, but Taisa, I mean, the Gemara says it, the Ramban had a different job, the Gemara. But Taisa claims, the Gemara says, Pem Mali, that Luva Yavesh is possible on the third day Cholomai. So how does that fit into their model? So Taisa says, you're right. It doesn't fit into our model. But don't ask kashas from Hadar, because Hadar, Chazal just did it in for ugly looking mitzvahs that they couldn't tolerate. And lulav looks so shvach. It's such a stira to zekelim and such a pagam. It's such a non-mahudidik thing. I'll say the mitzvah, they had to declare the whole thing as possible, even though according to their model, it really should have been kosher after the first day. So that's why Hadar is a bad example to our discussion. But putting aside the Psalli Hadar, the basic model is whatever is not there bechlal is clearly not acceptable for the rest of the week. Whatever is there, just with a little shtickle psul, would be okay. And the reason why pitum falling off is questionable, is the pitum falling off a psul of hadar or a psul of chaser. If it's a psul of chaser, then it'll be okay after the first day according to Tyson's model. If it's a psul of hadar, then it won't be. The reason why we're so lenient, many people are lenient on the pitum falling off, is the shtickle sveik sveika. Half the Rishonim say that it's a psul of chaser, and the other half the Rishonim say that Tyson's not right, and even psul of hadar are kosher after the first day. But again, we're not learning the Dalamini right now, we're still focusing on Tyson. So Tyson's sheet is that an eska chaser is not the same as a missing aravus. One is a pagav the yetzah mitzvah, and one is just a zayit. It's just 10 jachim well. What's the problem with Tosfos? What's the problem with Tosfos?
Didn't you say yesterday?
The what? Didn't you say
that? What? That yesterday we clearly said that Tosfos went further. He said that okichatami even means that if you're wrong.
Yeah, Tosfos says they're both learned from the same pasuk. Taisa said, both dinim I learned from the identical pasuk. They both learned from the Kichatama. So Taisa is saying, Avam Bichain, there's a difference between the two. Now, the emes is this Taisa is not on the level of the Araisa, because the consequences of this Taisa don't impact our mitzvah the Araisa. Taisa is using this vis-a-vis a mitzvah the Rabbana. But Kol Nitzik Rabbana Gein the Araisa Tikkun, by understanding when Chazal instituted that the psulim carry over when they don't, Tosfos is giving us an eye, opening a window into what the nature of the din deraisa is. That not all dinim deraisa learned out from tama are created equal. That some dinim that are learned out from tama are integrally lacking the mitzvah. Tama means that this is the tshuva mitzvah, and if it's missing, then the entire mitzvah is not there. It's mamish devar b'talem. If you have 3 out of 4 medium, 2 out of 3 medium, 2 out of 4, 1 out of 4, that's not called the mitzvah for the Kichat Tamah. That's the pagam and the etzema mitzvah. You can have another din that's also learned from Tamah. It's not the same. It's the same mokor, but it's conceptually different. You can have the same mokor, the same posuk, highlighting different kinds of halachas. Some of them are integral, some are not. Now again, in dalal medium, there's no enough to be the raisa. Absolutely zero enough to be the raisa. Because with the raisa, everything's no good on the first day. And after the first day, there's no mitzvah the raisa. But the ikaron, on the level of the rabbanan, Tosfos created two different tracks within Tama proper. So let's borrow that idea and begin to go backwards, turn back a little bit, back to the area of Sefer Torah Tfilin Mezuzos. So here we do the following. Tosfos is not even talking the language of Hadar right now. Tosfos is only comparing the dinim of 3 out of 4 minim versus the dinim chaser. Hadar Tosfos says for purely tactical reasons are problematic the whole week because they hid the mitzvah. So Hadar Psulim had nothing to do with this Tosfos. It was a sideshow of the Tosfos. So what I share with you, something that appears in Hagos Maimini. I think I put it in my comments, did I? Assume that one. Look. Hagos Maimini has the following discussion. Twofold Chiddush Hagos Maimini. That is the following Shah. I have a letter. And it's a Torah Tfilin Mezuzos. It is clearly legible as a letter. But if I look carefully at it, I'll notice there's a crack in the letter. A little bit of ink faded, or was not really written properly at first. And the pieces of the letter are not really 100% connected. You have my deal over there? Where's my mom? Green deal? It's possible, okay. So here. It said in the news, I was listening, I was driving today, so they said that even if you only take like 50 steps a day, it's good for your heart. Any step you take, you shouldn't get the attitude wrong. If I run the marathon, it's good. Even if you walk around the room, every little bit counts. So, okay. All right. Yes, okay. I used to feel strong in the old days. I used to walk around. I used to clock up miles. Here's the vav. Was that the vav to you guys? Mumle kebab? Kosher or possible?
Possible.
Good guess. Which one? You said two different things. Possible or machlokes?
Is that
not good? No. There's no hole in the cloth. There's a little bit of ink scratched out. So Ghost Bible says it's possible. That letter is possible with deraisa. Why is it possible with deraisa? There's no Gemara that says it's possible. Why is it possible with deraisa? Where's the number book? Ksiva Toma! What does Toma mean? Complete, whole, one entire unit. A letter has to be one unit. There's no tsir for broken, half-baked, broken letters. Even though this is not a tzol kibba oistachavadim, nobody here would read it as a yud. Any little kibba, see, it's a vav, but a little mashup, so you can barely, because you see the space between them. It's clearly readable as a vav, and it's possible they're right, says the Gos Maimoni. There's no nishkein ksiva Toma. There are only two letters that a dafka nimsa lanu dafka not to be this way. What are the two letters? No. I don't mean that one vav in the Siddur. Hey to kuf. Okay? Hey to kuf, a dafka not supposed to be that way. But the other letters of the alphabet have to be one unit. If not, they're possible there, right? So there happened to be some Rishonim who said they never heard of such a thing. The Be'iri writes, he never heard of such a psul. Vishnah doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara such a psul. So Shtetner goes, many Rishonim say it's possible. Comes the Gos Maimoni and says, let's see, open up a tefillin of mezuzahs and you find a letter like this. What do you do? What would you think you do? You think you would add ink? How could you add ink? Isn't that a problem with what? So like a sidron. The Mechilta says that a tefillin and mezuzah have to be kesidron. It's got to be kesidron. If you write one letter before the other letter, let's say a guy writes the whole parsha tefillin and forgot to write that first vav. So it's just fill in the first vav. No one knows the difference. The tefillin apostle b'deraisa. Every letter has to be formed kesedar. We just talked about this by the Sefer Torah. Remember, that's the reason why we're so makel certain chaktecha shalos by tefillin mezuzah, because leis breira. There's no such thing by Sefer Torah. That would be a very expensive chum by Sefer Torah. Every time there's a mistake. So comes Marmi Rutenberg, I'm sorry, comes the Gross Marmi, the Talmud of Rutenberg, he's quoting from his Rebbe and saying, no. Shalika Sidran means you can't write the entire letter, Shalika Sidran. The letter's basically there already, and you're just touching it up a little bit. That's not called Shalika Sidran. Now, that is a tremendous chiddush way past who? Way past what we said last week. Last week we were talking about if you have letters and tefillin and mezuzahs and they're touching and you just want to scratch between them, we said that's okay. Right? We said that's not a problem. Chakteich, going to the Rosh at least, that's still Chakteichas. And why is that not a problem with Shulchan Sidran? That's for sure not a problem with Shulchan Sidran. Nobody said it's a problem with Shulchan Sidran. You know why? You're not writing. I'm not writing Shulchan Sidran. The psul of Shulchan Sidran is you're not allowed to write Shulchan Sidran. Because the post of a cloud, close by and you're removing ink, that's not a problem for Shulchan Sidran. It may be a problem of Chakteichas, maybe yeah, maybe no, but that's not a Shulchan Sidran sugya. Here, this is much more profound, much more difficult. Here, you're adding ink. The only way to salvage this tefillin is to add a little bit of ink to it. So isn't that a little drop of ink, you're taking an oast posel, to an oast kosher, isn't that Shulchan Sidran? Shteik that goes, maybe no, it's not a problem. You know why? Because the Gabi the Dinim of Shulchan Sidran, if it has a shame ice on it, it's okay. And it's an os puzzle. That's okay. That's all right. It's an os. It's just not quite there because it's missing a little crack in the middle. But it's not considered to be so bad. What would the din be, however, in the following case? What if this is what it looked like? What does it look like? A kid comes in and reads it as a yud with some ink splashed 6 inches down. Kid reads it as yud. Oh, no big deal. I'm just going to fix that yud. No big deal. Just connect it. So those children are possible in their eyes. Why? Because of? Shalika Sidran. You wrote a vav. Shalika Sidran. This yisod of the Gross Matter, we accept the halacha. We pass it. Both of his chedushim. We pass it that letters have to be one unit, which is a question. And then we pass it, Afa Bichain, you're allowed to misakin it as long as the basic letter is there. How do you define the basic letter there? It's called Tsurasais, the Keras Tsurasais. If it's readable as a vav, with a little crack, you can fix. If it's not lettable anymore, that's going to be a problem.
Shouldn't it matter if the os was written in kosher smell?
Even a letter was.
Even if even if it's the keres.
Doesn't matter. It was there. The vav is there. It's just puzzle. That's the kosher. That's the chiddush. You want to disagree with the gross mamid because bang. But the gross mamid is made of that's the kosher considering.
First case with that little is that or is it?
Yeah, he just puts a bank there.
That we ask kiddurin, or we give our best guess, or
it's a further question. How exactly? I need to define. You get poshup shot is it should be the same shear of man yiratzakari bay. It should be which I even kid poshup shot. So Rabbi say, this yisoda goes by me is so critical because this can make a break a pasha tefillin, make a break a mezuzah. Not just in terms of little scratches, but sometimes you have halachas and osius. That you have to decide, is this particular halacha that passels an os, is that considered to be a pagam in the very os? It's mamish not an os altogether. It's mamish can be just a blob of ink. What do I say? It's an os, just not quite has all the halachas b'chus osius on it. I'll give you a mashal. The Gemara Minoch is that same sugya, Minoch Chavtes, that's where all the whole sugya stems from. The Gemara has the following statement. The Gemara says, Kol oshelo nichtva kel chusa, is ain't an os. If you have an os that's not written, properly, it's not an os. So the Gemara wants to give you an example. The Gemara is going to give you 22 different examples. The Gemara gives you one example. Well, Moshe the Gemara says, and it's the biggest chiddush of all the examples, if you have a yud that's missing the what? The kutzah shel yud, that's an os l'nichtva keluchasa, and it's possible. So you take first the Gemara. Os without, a yud without a kutzah shel yud. What exactly is kutzah shel yud? Anyone know? Who thinks a little schmitchical, I forgot, I didn't hear that word, little what?
Chupchik
on top. Who thinks the chupchik on top? Who thinks it's the chupchik on the bottom? Who thinks it's the big leg on the right?
What was the second?
That's what the yud pretty much looks like, the same time. Okay? So, which is the kutzah shel yud? Rashi says that is the kutzah shel yud. The right leg protruding down. These things, they're cute, but you don't really need them. I'm not cave. Rabbi Natan says it's this shmitchik coming down. And the other version of Rabbi Natan, some Rishonim called Rabbi Natan seem to be referring to this shmitchik on top. So, three possibilities. Okay? Therefore, when we write yuds, what do? Okay, fine. That's the famous. The famous kutzah shel yud. All right, certain Hebrew author made it unfortunately infamous, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, well, this is the kutzah shel yud. That's famous story. You guys don't know. Shechtel. Famous. It was certain Hebrew literature. A mosque was trying to make fun of the rabbis back in the 1800s. But they knew how to learn, these guys. They were just on Ramah. So they were all ex-Yeshiva Bachrim. So they wrote a whole story about how a guy gives a get. And his name is Hillel. And they wrote with Hey Yud Lamed Lamed. And they forgot the Kutzah Shel Yud. And the rabbi wouldn't give the get. And the woman became Naguna. And the whole life was ruined. The whole thing was to heap scorn upon the Rabbanim and say, the rabbis ruined a whole life. They destroyed a whole woman's life. All because of the Kutzah Shel Yud. That was the whole theme of the whole story. So, obviously, this guy had never learned Hilchos Gittin, because you don't spell Hilchos Gittin with a yud. It's actually without a yud. And it's not, but besides all the other flaws in this particular story. Anyway, so, you imagine somebody not from today would be knowledgeable to know the sugi about Kutzah Shel Yud to write Ishtikul Torah again. You have to be. As they say, there are no Marpi Kursim anymore. Of course, Malonga. I'm Ratzah Baruch Hashem. We have plenty of, but Marpi Kursim very few. Very few. You have to really find the good up because there. It's very hard to find. Okay. Anyway. So, the bottom line is here. We have good to show you. So, what would the bin be as follows? Let's say, I'm going to ask you two questions. We'll leave out the top one. We're not even sure this is really the top. So let's just focus on this versus this. What if a fear of the film opened up, and lo and behold, it looked like that? What are you? Vaidav, it looked like that. What would you say? No problem. Just put the leg on now. Big deal, right? What would you say about that? It's a garnished. It's a blob of ink. So, if this is missing, we're in big trouble. What if it follows? not such a crazy shiloh. Okay, it looks like that. Kind of round over there. It doesn't have this thing protruding down. The Machlekes Chasam Sofer, not Chasam Sofer, claims that as long as it's squared off, even though it doesn't actually come down, because that's good enough for Kutzah Shoyud. And others said, no, it's mamish got to come down. Well, it doesn't even screw off. It's mamish not. It's mamish rounded off. It's absolutely no good according to this version of Rabbi Natan. Can you fix it?
I would look at that and say it's still good.
That's right. That's exactly what I would say, and that's what Mishnah Berurah paskins. That according to the Gos Maimoni, you look at it and say it looks like a yud. This is the halacha equivalent of what? Of this little crap over here. It's possible. You can't use it. It's not there. It's a halacha that's disqualifying this, at least according to Rav Natan's version. But it's still an os. It's a yud with a little bit of problem, and still need to be fixed. Okay. So this that Gos Maimoni is very, very important. Fine. So it's Shulam Zosas actually. So back to that story, Rabbi Say.
Is that even if the yud was originally written like that, or only if
they
like kind of turned into something?
It doesn't matter. Originally, not. It doesn't make any difference.
Well, why would that line, according to Rabbeinu Tam, be any different than not having the line on the right, bottom right, according to Rashi? Why would that not totally invalidate the letter?
Because you look at it and you see, come on, this is yud. Without Rashi's right leg, it looks like a blob of ink. Without Rabbeinu Tam's right leg, left leg, if he wouldn't have told you the Gemara Menachos, he would have said it's yud anyway.
Similar to that question, I feel like though if you're comparing that letter together with other letters, even without Rashi's leg, if you put that next to a shin or any other letter in the
Torah, I would say it's a blob of ink. Looks like a blob of ink, square blob of ink. So, by saying, what do you see from this din that the Gos Maimoni is now spitting off to other areas? What do you see from here? The Gos Maimoni was comparing and contrasting a Ksivat Tama that can be fixed in contrast to a Ksivat Tama that can't be fixed. They're both Ksivat Tamas. Again, the Meiri said there is no such thing of Ksivat Tama with the crack of the Lahoy Dvamayev. But according to the Gos Maimoni, such a did exists, that a letter has to be complete, and the only mokah for that, the derivation is from Ksivat Tama. The Afal Pichein, it's not on par with the din of a ksivat tama which is daima is the chavata. Daima is the chavata, vavs that looks like yud, yud, vav, you can't fix. It's over, it's like a sidra. But just to touch up a little ink in the middle to remove the problem of ksivat tama of chaticha achas, that you can fix. This is already on the level of the deraisa. The Rishonim are telling us, pamolei, that there's a chiluk with the right, not all ksivat tamas are created the same. So the Sarah Klaus and the Chacham, you have to Chazal to figure out Baruch Kotshom, which dinim are integral to the Etzema Aisa, which are not, Nafkamino and Dina. So Taisus had this similar kind of smart. It's a similar, it's obviously a very different area of halacha, but the underlying principle is the same. Taisus did it like Abi Dinim Derabban of Lekicha Toma, and now Gos Maimoni is doing it like Abi Dinim Deraisa of Ksiva Toma.
You know, objectively, they're also, it's about like being nicker. If you see someone with Arba Minim and one of them is Chaser, so it doesn't look like Arba Minim. Look at Esro, it's a little bit chaser.
Maybe
it looks like
maybe that's part of it. Maybe Nikola Ayan plays a role. Maybe it could be. Fascinating shot. We'll get back to our thing. We pass it in the halacha that really Isis is supposed to be one unit. But remember, I told you the Meiri disagrees. A few Rishonim here and there disagree. Anyone knows where that comes to play? Where does that play out now? What area of halacha is important for us to know? That only if it's outright possible chodeus will we disqualify it. We talked about it a couple of days ago. Prisa Torah, didn't we quote the Shuvah Sarambam? No? Does the Rambam write in a Shuvah that you can learn from Apostle Sefer Torah? We didn't talk about this?
Yeah.
Right? And remember we said that Mishnah Berurah quotes the people got them, the only time we'll put away Sefer Torah is only if it's absolutely possible to Choladeus. But if according to some opinions it's okay, we're good to go. We talked about this, right? What?
The Torah
Chesed. The Torah Chesed, not a Chesed. Different side. In the north, different part. Very north. Syria, okay. But, so I'll share you another story. I didn't tell the story about the Vav of Parshas Pinchas, did I? Okay. It was actually not the Vav of Shalom. Shalom attack should be cracked. Ma'isa Shalakechoya. Okay. It was Parshas Pinchas. It was the years that I was the Rav in Paramus. Before I was in Berger, I was the Rav in Paramus. And we used to go in the summers to LA. Used to run the summer column there. So my in-laws just live in the valley. So I was there one, it was for Shabbos. And one of the shuls in the valley asked me to come and, anywhere from the valley? No. Anywhere from LA? He's in France. Okay. So one of the shuls of the valley asked me to come be Spanish, to speak to Hashem this morning, give a shiur, whatever, it's fine. So I came to, I went to daven in that shul. And the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, the Bakari stops. And he calls over the rabbi. The rabbi looks at it, makes a face, he motions me to take a look. So I looked at it. Continue lighting. I think you're allowed to continue lighting. Continue lighting. So after lighting, I explained to him why I said what I said. It was like a vav, it was a crack letter. It wasn't a vav of shul. It was another vav, whatever it was, cracked the vav. And by just my fluke in Bajas Binchas. And it looked like a vav, no question about looking a vav. But the mice, it also was clear that there was a crack. So the way we pass in Mikra Din, you really shouldn't use that Sefer Torah. But since the Meiri and a few other Rishonim here and there hold that it's okay, so we fall back on that Mishnah Berurah and the Primogan, whenever there's Machlokes or Rishonim, whether certain letters kosher after Kriyas HaTorah, we're not going to have a Vayish Sefer Torah, we just finish up the Kriyas HaTorah that Shabbos, and after Shabbos we get around and we fix it. So apparently Rabbi Moshe, I think both Rabbi Moshe and Rabbi Yaakov had paskin about this kind of a Shiloh, that this meets the criteria of that Mishnah Berurah and the Primogan, that anytime you have a crack in Sefer Torah, if it's a nikkur, if it's not, if it looks mamash chayud, it's such a big crack, it looks like chayud, then it's possible chodeis. But if it's basically nikkur ayin, it's just as the correct letter is above, it's just that lemaisa, it's not one unit. So, but the even if it's Kriyas HaTorah, we could rely on the Meiri Shita. So that's what I basically told him after the Abed. Okay, good, not such a grandiose psach fight. So that summer, Rabbi Roblowski was like my summer rabbi in Paramus. He was taking over for a couple of weeks that I was away. So he was there. So I called him Sunday morning, you know, asking how Shabbos had gone that weekend. So he said, it was fun. Sure, no problem. He said, just one strange thing happened. He said, there was a mistake in the Sefer Torah, in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. So I said, what happened? What was the Shiloh? So he said, they called him up in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah and took like a look at the letter. There was a crack in the vav. Not Shalom, a crack in the vav. So Emil started on third. I said, and what did you say? So he said, I looked at it, and it looked really clear that it was above, but the mice, it was obvious that it really was a crack there. Some of the ink had faded. So I told them that they can continue laning, because there's machlekes and rishonim, and the Eri says that it's okay, and therefore we pass it, and it's all fake, you're allowed to continue laning, and sure. So then I asked them the question that would have probably turned me into a chosid for life. What was the question?
Time.
Which above was it? Different bob, sorry. it would have been too eerie, a little too spooky that. So I let my balabatim know that even though I was 3,000 miles away, I was asking the shalos for them from afar. Even though too is that the paramus shalos happened first, actually, before, because they were 3 hours ahead. I was still sleeping Shabbos morning when he was passing the shalos. But it was a little eerie, though. A little strange. Okay. Anyway, fine. That's a true story. Not that the others are not true, but this was actually a true story. Okay, back to our regular story. So maybe this idea, almost like the two dinim, Sivatamatikadinim, maybe that's the root of what's going on in these two Taisus as well. What Taisus is saying, that Hilchos Gittin, we don't really care about Sivatama. Which part of Sivatama do we not care about? The external dinim. Between you and me, a little mashu of two letters touching, it looks like a letter. What kind of halacha is that? You have two letters that are touching. So that's much closer in halacha. That's like a little crack in the vav. That's like missing a rabbeinu tam's kutshoyud. Those are dinim. The Torah says it's got to be perfect, perfect, perfect. It's not just an oats. A little base, a little reish touch, a little mash, a little kutshoyud, a little teeny weeny they touch. Yichut asayru they touch. That's not a pagam in the etzem noise. That's a din. And added on for bonus points, the Torah says it's got to be perfect. It's got to be perfect. So that added bonus points that has to be perfect, that's the true. I say, if I touch all the mezuzahs, by Gittin, it doesn't say achsaftam, it doesn't say you need to see the Torah, so added halachas don't apply. That's why the Re says, you don't need a raya. The Revam spending our time and drawing us to try to bring a raya from Ura. There's a raya brewer that there's no dinamuk revealed by Gittin, says the Re, forget your rayas, you don't need rayas, it's a milsnip shita. It's a dhamma parshad ma'ayd, you don't need mukhav vil, because mukhav vil is an added bonus. But when it's daimi ayis the chavrata, that was exactly what did that Gosh Maimonides say when it's Dabar Estachavata? What can you not do? You can't fix it. You know why? Why can't you fix it when it's Dabar Estachavata? Because what is it? It's not a nose. It's not a vav. It's a yud. So the same way, if it's not a vav, it's a yud, how's it going to forget? The person's name is not giving you a name with a vav in it. What? David. The guy's name is not Doyer. His name is David. So if it's not above, it's not above. It would be interesting if this whole marshal is right. I'm not saying that every single part of this marshal is right, but if this marshal is right, so then it would be an interesting thing when it comes to, let's say you write a get and you miss a kutz shor yud in a get. Is it going to get kosher or not? What should it depend on? Which what? Which kutz shor yud are you missing? If you're missing the kutz shor yud of Rashi, then you have, let's say you have a word, Yosef. So you don't have the word Yosef, you have blob Osef. It means you don't have a yud. You don't have the word Yosef. But if you have Rashi's right leg, you're missing a bit of Tom's leg. So that's like a Ksiva Toma Dika did. And that's like a Gias Ice Voice. Those kind of halachas, those are things you can fix afterwards. So if that whole Shtikul Torah razzle dazzle is right, that shouldn't pose a problem. I didn't say that's the Din Shulchan Aruch, I'm not saying that. But that would be a refutation of a certain Hebrew writer. He didn't chop this whole Shtikul Torah. When he wrote his Shtikul Torah about the Kutz Shor Yud, he didn't understand that. It depends what's Kutz Shor Yud. Not every Kutz Shor Yud passes again, according to what we're saying. Again, I don't mean this la halacha, I just mean a part of our whole picture puzzle over here, that there are two different halachas of Thomas. So again, if you like the pshat, batav manoim. If you don't like the pshat, then come up with another theory for me as to why there are differences when it comes to Mukav Gvil Tosis laughs off. And when it comes to Zlatib Ezechav, the Tosis by far doesn't laugh it off. Menach is actually taken quite seriously. Even though they're both learned out from Ksiva Tama, Akoch there too did not Ksiva Tama. And we already proved that. Rosh Maimni is for sure that way. And Moshe Matziluch HaYetziv is there. Nuchas Lulav, the Gavit the Dinder Abad. So again, it's a thought. You like it, Matto. If you don't like it, come up with a better idea. Yeah. Yeah, so if they're really, really touching so bad that they mamish blur that we drew that rach, that was rach on the board yesterday. Yeah. Rach when it looks like blob, so then that's enough. Okay. This is the shiraim of yesterday. This was what we talked about yesterday. This is just the final touch of yesterday. A little bit more to go on the circuit. Okay. Drop more to go. So, we're up to is. We haven't found anybody who really truly believes that there's a bit of a kufiyah by gittin. And minigis with machbiran and lechatchila and but in terms of really, really, truly the apostle, the Rivon thought he had a good raya, the Rivon thought you don't need a raya. So there is a third approach in Rishonim. It appears, I don't think I put it in the Mamakamis, it's hard to find. Did I put the Rivash on the Mamakamis? I did put it on the Rivon. Oh, you're right, 11 minutes, by God. Okay. So the Rivash quotes from the Ramah, from Meir Levi, right? The Yad Ramah quotes the following fascinating raya. He was of the opinion of the Rivon, we better find a good source that Bukhavil doesn't pass by get. And he comes up with a raya. Not the raya from the Lotzich de Ma'ura. Ma'ura can go either way. Maybe the Rish shot, it's airspace. Maybe it's not even a raya. But listen to his raya. Unbelievable shot. This is like the shot. You see the way Rishon read a Gemara. Rapop had a shaila about the guy gives a get to his wife and he retains ownership on the paper. Between the lines, between the words, between the letters, right? That was the shot. Take it. We're not sure what the din is. So says the Ramah, if there would be a din requiring Mukav Gvil by Gittin, this would not be Mukav Gvil. Why? Because if all the paper in between the letters belongs to the husband, then the wife has letters, she's received letters that are, they may be physically mukav gvil, but they're not what? They're not halachli mukav gvil. You know why? Because the gvil at the mukav is nishkin gvil for gittin, because it's still his. So for the fact that Rapapa was willing to entertain the possibility it could be the zarite, Rapapa didn't take it. Maybe it's kenzine, it could be that the husband owns every last drop of paper in between, and the wife only has the backgrounds proper. So what does that mean? That means all the paper in between is kamandalesa, because it never was transferred to the woman. So what's surrounding those letters? What's surrounding the letters of Be'etha B'Shamas? What's surrounding the base? Tell me. Nothing, halakhically meaningless. It's not klaf, because it's klaf that's not going to the woman, so it doesn't count, it doesn't register. So that would pose a challenge of, that would be a chisor of Mukhlar Kvil. Zaman from the fact that the Gemara didn't raise that as a red flag, you see, for me, there's no problem Mukhlar Kvil with Gamre and Nechus Gittin. That was the right of the Ramban
Rivash. Didn't the Rivam already say this?
The Rivam? No. The Rivam brought a raya from the answer of the Gemara, Tzichat the Ma'ura. He learned that the letters of Mamish touching each other. It's not at all a right. It's a totally different right. This is a right from the beginning of the Shaila. This is before the Gemara's Kasha even, for Tepel Leid the Sefer Echad. Just Rav Papa's Shaila. The letters are not touching. The Gemara didn't know anything about letters touching. All the Gemara knew is as follows here. The guy writes, Be'echad B'Shabbos. Okay? He writes, Be'echad B'Shabbos. All right? So every letter looks like it's Mukhlar Kvil, right? Looks like it? No, it does not. Because everything here between letters, who gets that piece of cloth? The Baal calls up. That's the Shadow of Fakir, right? So what's between the Beis and the Aleph? Nothing there. That cloth's not going to the woman.
Halacha is reality.
This is pre 3 o'clock. There's no cloth here. That's the problem. It's not. The Gemara doesn't say it. Is that when you see from here? There's no problem with Mukhlar Kvil by This is the Rivam. The Rivam said in Maskonis the Gemara, when the Gemara had the letters touch each other, because otherwise it's Sefer Echad problems, so that was a raya, there's no din of Mukhlar Kvil. This is way before the Gemara ever got to that kasha.
It's the same
halacha,
it's
the
same
proof
that they're trying to prove that it's...
No, it's not the same proof, b'chlal, not the same proof. They're using the same Gemara, the raya has nothing to do with each other. Two different rayas, two different stages of the Gemara.
They're trying to prove that you don't need Mukhlar Kvil.
They're trying to prove, but they're proving in different ways. I'm trying to get to the bridge. So either I'm taking 95, or I'm going on the Tappan Zee Bridge, or I'm going through Florida. I'm getting to the same bridge. I'm getting to the same Washington Heights. But they're going legami in different directions. Who here read the Shrivash and the Rama and said that, wow, what a raya? How come you guys didn't think of this raya? Who here read you guys went to Gemara 3 days ago. How come nobody said, hey, what a great raya? How come the Rivon didn't think of this raya? How come the Rin didn't think it was Raya? Nobody except for the Ramah thought it was Raya. There's something funny about this Raya.
He's turning halacha into reality.
He's halacha into reality. What's the problem with that?
He said that
you could see the letters.
Did you just know what I said? I was saying Kirish Levana this week. So Matei Shabbos name was cloudy. I said Sunday night, I was saying Kirish Levana. I was looking at the moon before I made the bracha. And I thought of the Rav's story about looking at Shkia Sachama, you know, on Yom Kippur. I said, this is not a regular moon. The moon I'm looking at is a different moon. Different Choshei moon. Al Zen Nemra Chesh Nelechem Rosh Chodoshim. This is not last month's moon. This is a Chesh Nisim moon. The same craters, the same light, the same size, the same thing, everything is the same. It's the same Apollo spacecraft. It's the same, you know, one step leap for mankind. It's a different moon. It's a different Choshei moon. So the Ramah was more halachic minded than the Rivam. And what's going on here? How come the other Yerushalmi didn't think this was a raya?
Why is Ben Shigel
Shita
Kasha include the Mukhlar Kvil space around letters?
That's what the words mean. But I start, but that's what it means.
I'm saying, but
there's
Mukhlar Kvil and then there's Ben Shigel Shita. I don't think so. A letter that touches the end of a page.
Oh, God, bad gag. Hold on to the end. Wait.
I think some areas of halakha, the halakha can find reality, but the areas of halakha where you actually need a physical...
Okay. So let's start with this picture. So the answer to this dilemma as to why the Ramah and the Rivash thought this is a great raya, and all the other Rishonim didn't even dream of such a raya, without a question, has its roots with how you answer the most basic fundamental question, the sugya of Mukhlar Kvil. Anyone know what the most fundamental question the entire sugya of Mukhlar Kvil is? It all starts with the Gemara Menachas. Three guesses. What daf do you think it's on? Not bad. Good guess. Okay? And daf Chavtes in Menachas, the Gemara has the following statement. The Amar of Yidom Arav, 12th of the Ramakonis. Kol Oshe Engvil Mukavam Yabru Chosea Psula. Pretty clear? Okay. Amar Ashir Bar Nadvach Mishmeid Rav Yehuda. We don't know this brother was in the one of Tamid Rebbe. I don't recall if you're seeing him before. Ashir ben Advach was his name. He said over the name of Rebbe Yehuda the following: Nikaf Teicha Shalhei Kosher Yerechei Posel. Amr Rebbe Zeirul Dima Farshim Minei Ravuna Rebbe Yaakov Amr Dima Farshim Minei Rebbe Yehuda. What this meant is as follows: Nikaf Teicha Shalhei Kosher Yerechei Mishtaya Bekashir Es Ketana Kosher Ulaf Posel. Okay, we got it. I feel the adrenaline part flow. Okay, everybody say, back to business here. First, talk to MTA. That is?
Hey.
Okay, good. Alright? Have a hey. It's great, wonderful. Over time, the cloth begins to wear away a little bit. Every once in a while. That's one of the reasons we have to check your mezuzah, especially the outdoor mezuzah, because sometimes the weather, you know, moisture, things, you know, wear away at it. And some of the cloth can develop a nekev on it, a hole in it. All of a sudden, Gavalt, you open up your children over the mezuzahs, and you realize there's a little hole in the cloth. Around over here. Or around over here. So that's what this Gemara is talking about. Nikev Yerecha, Nikev Teicha, Bachel Yerushan, but Teicha means in here, in here. We'll leave out the details for now, but there's now a hole. So basically, if there's a hole there, what is not there anymore? The ink's not there anymore. So your basic letter just got like kind of chopped significantly. Is that still a hey? How long does this leg have to be to still be a hey? How long does this leg have to be to still be a hey? So that's what the Gemara is talking about. Nishtaiva, Olatvali, Eskatana, Teicha, Koshu. How long does it have to be? That's the topic of this sugya. But leaving out the details of what the shear is doesn't matter for us. So the Gemara's possibility is every once in a while a hole can develop in different parts of a letter. The Gemara's just giving a hey, I'm talking about other letters also. But the Gemara's talking about different holes that can develop, which basically means the ink's not there anymore. And now the real shaila is, Lemaisa, what was the shear b'tchila? How long does a letter have to be in order to still resemble a letter? That's the topic of the sugya. So there's a famous, famous kash in this Gemara. What's famous kasha? Beis Yosef's kasha. The famous kasha of Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef is one of the days, yes, the kasha. The Yom Tomer. The Heichim Achshirina Be'ifsek Shum Os B'Nukva. How can the Gemara even discuss being Machshir any letter which has a hole in it? What's the problem? Ha'amina Be'akoyim, it's that same line in the Gemara. The line before, Ka'o She'ein Gvul Mukof Lame Abrichos Epsula. When you have a hole, what is surrounding whatever's left of the os now? What? Air. It's not mukaf what? What's the phrase? Gvil is cloth. Gvil is a type of cloth. Yeah. It has to be mukaf gvil. So says to me, should I say, what is the Gemara wasting our time talking about? Ooh, is the leg long enough? Is it not long? Is this year? Is it the same year? Different year? Stop! When you have a hole, the buck stops here, the letter stops here. And then this is not cloth. This is air. It's an osh, hamukaf avir, not mukaf gvil. So the whole, of course the whole thing is possible. That's the famous Beis Yosef kash. So Beis Yosef is a long, everyone read to the Beis Yosef? Beis Yosef offers two terutzim. It says to Beis Yosef, there's no requirement that a letter be surrounded by cloth. There is no such requirement whatsoever. So what does the Gemara mean? It says, "Kol osh ein." Say for Torah Tumah Mezuzos. There's no halacha that a letter has to be surrounded by cloth. The halacha is, what does the Beis Yosef say? The lo itma el aliv solech she nidbeka ba'is acheres, v'al heich adiv sef benuk v'loy. There's no requirement to book of gvil. The halacha is, if two letters are touching, it's a problem. But if the letters are not touching, I couldn't care less whether it's surrounded by airspace, by gvil, or anything else. As long as the letters aren't touching. So why does Chazal say called Osha Mukov Gvil? Because Lamaisa being Mukov Gvil will prevent it from being touching. If it's not Mukov Gvil for states, it's going to be touching. Unless there's a hole. A hole is the perfect example of we write back in between the two. It's not Mukov Gvil, but it's not touching. So Ein Nais Nagas B'Chavata says it makes sense of therefore it's kosher. That's the reason why holes can be kosher. Again, now the Gemara has to pilpul about, well, is the shear long enough? Is the leg long enough? So you have to learn the shear. We have to learn the Hilchos Tzuras Ha'isis to figure out, is it still look like a hay, not like a hay? Okay? But in terms of the Mukav Gvil problem, says the Beis Yosef, it's not a problem because there is no halacha called Mukav Gvil. Mukav Gvil is just a lingo. It's a phrase Chazal used to describe the requirement to make sure the letters aren't touching. That's the first terence. The Eid Yeshlem, says the Beis Yosef. La'olam, you require what? No? What's the din? Has to be Gvil, it's got to be Gvil, got to be Gvil. But the din of Mukav Gvil was only said when? B'shas Ksivas Ha'osius. As long as it was written the Kashrus, if it subsequently develops a non-Mukav Gvil, that's not a problem. B'chlal, not a problem. Elijah, I'm going to ask you a question because you raised it before. A Sefer writes on the bottom line of the Parsha, a chaf sofit. And he goes all the way to the end of the klaf. Boom. Kosher apostle. First answer and second answer to the Beis Yosef. According to the first answer to the Beis Yosef, what's the din? Kosher. It's not touching another letter. According to the second answer to the Beis Yosef, it's possible with the Raisa. It was mitchilas aksiva. It was ordered, it started off on the wrong foot. Yes, that, unless you want to argue, like, that's a question. It's the same stroke. It gets complicated. We'll leave it up for now. But I'm going to tell you, chap. What do you say about as follows? What if a sofer wrote a very long chaf sofit, and it stops just shy of the bottom of the cloth? So it has a tenth of an inch of cloth, and the sofer starts to roll up the parasha, and he realizes it doesn't fit. The bottom is too big. You know what he does? Shaves off the bottom. He takes his scissors and cuts off that tenth of an inch of cloth in the bottom. And now, the bottom of that chaf sofit is touching the end of the cloth. What do you think about that?
You just scrape off the bottom. Does it make
cloth? Could, maybe. But he doesn't want to start doing that. It's chaychitz, who knows what. What do you think? So what do you think? Who's going to answer me that shayla?
Should be fine.
According to who?
Both.
Right. According to both answers, it should be a membership. It's kosher. According to both answers, the base answer should be okay. Because if you go down the first route, the whole soul is only it's touching here. It's not touching another letter. Go down the second route, it's only Dinesh Askseva here. It wasn't Pulse Mesh Askseva. Right. According to both answers, we do. Okay. So far, so good. Everyone with us? Think about the Rivash's Raya now. Think about the Raman, the Rivash's Raya. They said that, ben shita l'shita, the cloth belongs to the husband, gevalt, kishrigin, terrible, cloth is command the leisad on me. And therefore, isn't a chesaret of Mukav Gvil, zabin, you see, for me, there's no psalm of Mukav Gvil. What does that do, Mukav Gvil? Walk through him, guys. According to the first day of the Beis Yosef, what in the world does it have to do with Mukav Gvil? Why? They're not touching. In the halachic universe, the cloth belonging to the husband is the halachic equivalent to command the leisa. I'll tell you what it's an equivalent of. Give me a halachic physical equivalent of the husband owning the cloth. It's like a hole. And the first day of the Beis Yosef, that hole is also kosher. So according to the first answer to the Beis Yosef, if the Ramah's Raya is the Shkin Raya B'chlal, not even the ballpark of a Raya. Nope. Let's go down the second answer to the Beis Yosef. Psulim Mukav Gvil are only Chawen. Here, this get was written beautifully. When did the quote-unquote Mukav Gvil problem kick in? When this nincompoop at the last minute hands of the get, oh, by the way, I want to hold on to Bailas on in between the letters. That's the lach equivalent of a hole developing when? later, like cutting the cloth off at the bottom. Those kinds of mukavils, and Nishke mukavils go to the second dance of the B'seis. So guess what? Bein lefi the first dance of the B'seis, if Bein lefi the second dance of the B'seis, if the Ramah's right, it's not a raya. That's exactly why the Bali Atoysis didn't dream of this raya. They weren't even on their radar screen, this raya. Again, the B'seis lived 300 years after Toysis, but everyone had to deal with the B'seis kasha. The B'seis kasha is a glaring kasha. You learn Menachos Chof Tes, you have to ask that kasha. You can't ignore that kasha. So I don't know. I'm not back in France. And, maybe other members of Ashir are there right now, but I'm not in France in the 1100s right now. I have no idea how the Bali Tosfos learned how they answer the kasha. That he says, I have no clue the first or the second teretz. But all I know is I'm comfortable to say that whether they went down the first or the second teretz, they were muchach mineu bay. Either one of those two teretzim is correct. If either one of those two teretzim is correct, then I understand why the Raya, the Rivash, the Ramaz, Bechalam, not a Raya. That's exactly why the Rivam started searching. Not like you guys said, oh, it's the same Raya. Oh, it's not. The first raya is a terrible raya. The second raya is a great raya. And the Ri said, I don't even need the raya. It's so posh, I don't even need rayas. It's no slip sheet on raya. It's like lulav. Everyone knows the raya. You don't need a raya. So I just want to sensitize you. Who here saw the Ramah's raya? Saw the Rivash. Who here realized that the Ramah and the Rivash's raya, it doesn't fit? This whole B'Shaisim is against it. Who's the Pel Gov on, everybody say? It's a Pel on who? Yeah, so how did the Ramah and the Rivash answer the B'Shaisim's kasha? You have to answer the kasha. How are you not going to get to that kasha? Right? How are you not going to get to that kasha? How could the Ramah, the Rivash, dare to bring a raya? It's still galuya, the whole kasha. One of these situations has to be the correct answer. And neither answer lends to the validity of the raya.
Love it,
no, you can't say that. Close, but not close. Theory. You have something to that. Not love it is not the right thing, but it's a similar idea. Unless there's a third answer floating around somewhere. Maybe there's another answer to Bezos' cash that we don't know of yet. Did anyone think of a creative other answer to Bezos' cash? Look at it really, really carefully. I have a letter. Okay, I have a letter, and I have this big mekev over here. Kind of continued on to the bottom. And some of the Gemara's ignoring. Look at some of that doesn't bother me. What? I forget, you know, I'm drawing that medium right over here. But it's really the more correct way of drawing the picture should be like that. I think look a little more bullet. The neck is over here. Big fat neck over here. Okay, and then you have letters on the bottom here again. And you go to the bottom. Okay? So track the they say it's there for a bit. It's not a book of air.
There's a
grill
underneath
the hole. Comes to be halacha. Tucked away in Sipulam Bay, it's a quote from Derech HaChayim that there's the third possible answer to the Beis Yosef's Kasha. That La'olam, you need klaf. It's not enough just to say it's not Nagiyas, you need klaf. And La'olam, could be even if it happens afterwards, it's also a problem. The other is a big chiddush to say that happens afterwards, it's okay. And what if a letter gets erased afterwards, it's not okay. That's a big chiddush to say it happens later, it's okay. So la'olam, the Gemara should be taken literally. Kol osha evokeh kavil. To say that only means negiyah is a very, very big stretch of the Lashon Gemara. The second answer to the Beis Yosef conceptually, it's interesting, it solves the problem, but conceptually, it's just like the hechatesi. Since when do psalm that occur later, all of a sudden I have a kosher lulav when I bought it, and if something happens, if I drop it, so it's possible, because I bought it when it's kosher, so it's okay. It's hard to understand that idea. So they got me a third answer, says the Brelo. You dug up a Dibri Chaim. It says the third possible answer. You have Mukuf Gvil. Where's the Mukuf Gvil? So the Mukuf Gvil is here. The letter ends, it's true. There's a little bit of a hole. But this letter is Mukuf Gvil. The hole happens to be there also, but the hole is command alesa. The hole doesn't register. It's mukul gvil, just move the gvil over. That's why, you know, Jeremy's marshal of love, this is cute, and he don't really mean it, but that's that. It's the same kind of idea that there's air there, but that air is just command alesa. We just ignore it. I just pick up where we left off. So the yos is mukul gvil. What would it then be if the hole went all the way from where to where? If out, the hole went all the way from here down to the yod, you know what the Mishnah Berurah says? You know what the Halacha says? It could be what? That's not possible. According to the Beis Yosef, that's also kosher. Why? Because according to the first day in the Beis Yosef, he says, no, it's not what? Not touching. According to the second day, the Beis Yosef happened to have some tiksiva. So it could be, according to both Timothy and the Beis Yosef, just to be kosher. Says the Mishnah Berurah, no, I'm not so sure it would be kosher. Because taka here, you don't have that back cloth to rely on. Wait, hold on. So the Bishabur Meatzma, later Achrander, 1800s in Europe, they're sitting around and pimpling to give a new answer to the Beis Yosef Kasha. I'll tell you a secret. I know two Rishonim who held that way. But that was the MSA answer. Who are the two Rishonim? The Rav Ash and the Ramah. Because if this is the correct answer, then taka, bein shita l'shita, bein teva l'teva, this Baal is stingy, greedy as anything. What's he holding back? Every last what? Every last blind piece of cloth there. There is zero. He is so stingy on the paper. The only thing he's giving her is the background of the lettuce because he wants to get to be kosher. But he wants every little strap of paper. Therefore, in the case of Rapapa, it's the halachic equivalent of what? Catch this one. In the Lomdish world, we look at the world of Lomdish, it's the halach equivalent of what? Of which hole? This hole. Where the hole goes like down from the mountain head to the top of the yod. Because the husband is holding on to that hope. Again, if you want to disagree with the world of halach and say Mitzias and halach are different, good, those are. But you're not going to catch the Raman and the Rivash on that. The Raman and the Rivash say, no, if halach is not giving to her, then it's command alesa, and it's so command alesa, it's command alesa, it chills ice to the next ice. There's an entire big fat airspace between them. There's a big fat hole between them. That's the Shkibuk of Vil. Don't hack me a child with Beis Yosef. The reverse says, excuse me, I lived before the Beis Yosef. The Ramah says, I lived hundreds of years before the Beis Yosef. So Lefiri is the IT. The Behalacha in 1800s, all of a sudden the Achronim made up a new answer. It's not Yesh Me'ayin. Their answer is no shayla about it what the reverse and the Ramah held. And there's also no shout about it that the Balei Tosfos who didn't go down that route because the Rivam started bringing a raya and the Rishon says you don't really need a raya but it really was a good raya, not a good raya. Lo'ilah Hadas, the raya, the old Rishonim on the page of Balei Tosfos only started the raya when it starts the Me'ura. Nobody woke up to bring a raya from the first one by Rav Papa himself. You know why? Because that first raya was Nishkin Raya because they were looking at the Sugin Menachas Chavtes through the eyes of the Bishai Sister. It's poshed, right? Everyone realized that? You can't read this Taisus. You can't read the Taisus and get in Davchof unless you read this Gemara in Chavtes and Menachos properly, unless you understand the Beis Yosef, unless you realize that there has to be a third Teretz floating around. It's the only way to read this Taisus. Anyway, Chopanis, what do we have? So we have a very simple Gemara. We have Baruch Hashem for the Meshuggah who wants to give his wife a get, holding on to the paper. So opened up our eyes about so many different things. There are really two parts of the Sugya, right? There was the Devik part of the Sugya. There was a whole angle of the Sugyas. And then we had a whole second half of the sugya about the Be'ura part of the sugya. What this does or doesn't indicate about Mukul Gvil. The process, we picked up a few odds and ends about Hukhas Ksivisev Tarot and Mezuzos, a little bit about Hukhas Gittin, a little about Tziv Thomas, a little about Aminim, a little assorted odds and ends. Okay?
What happened to Tame the Teva? Doesn't seem like any of the Rishonim or the Gemara itself tried to deal with the problem that Tame the Teva. Because Be'ura only solved the Chit Lashita. Tame the Teva would still be floating around with letters.
Long ratios. So long ratios, I don't know. Not sure. Yeah.
Can you explain how this hole would answer for the Raman and Rosh on the Beis Yosef?
Yeah, because once you tell me that the Emma's answer to the Beis Yosef's Kasha is not the two answers he gives, but the Emma's answer is that the back of cloth behind the end of the hole is what creates Mukul Gvil. If you'd have a hole going all the way to the next letter, that would be a problem. So the Raman and Rosh are the halach equivalent of a hole going to the next letter because the husband's holding on to the entire cloth. Okay, if I say, you see him on the sugya, okay. Hope a bit show on Sunday, so yeah, on Sunday, so that's some Zoom sure.